kind of groovy. I call you up and ask you if you'd like to go with me and see a movie. First you say no, you got some plans for the night, and then you stop and say, alright, love is kind of crazy with a spooky little girl like you. Every day with you, girl, is sweeter than the day before. Every day I love you more and more, more and more and more. They say that all good things must come to an end, but girl, it isn't true. Each day with you I fall in love again. Every day with you, girl, is sweeter than the day. Covered now with lines and creases, tickets torn in half, memories in bits and pieces, traces of love long ago that didn't work out right, traces of love.
Joining us right now is Dennis Yost. You know him as the lead singer of the Classics 4, and love their songs like Traces and Spooky and Every Day With You, Girl. Great stuff. And Dennis is out there singing again. I understand you had some surgery to kind of get your voice fixed.
I had some surgery a few years back, and I was having a little problem, and the people at the Vanderbilt Folk Clinic in Nashville took care of me, and I'm singing better than ever, and I really appreciate the interview with you people.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing. You know, first of all, let's talk a little bit about how the Classics 4 was formed.
Okay.
It was in Jacksonville, Florida, right?
Right. We were basically a high school group, and I was playing in a different group in high school, and Walter Eaton, one of the family members, along with myself, approached me about joining the band. Back then I was just playing drums, and I decided to go ahead and go with his band, and one thing led to another. We started out doing like everybody back then in 1960-61. We were doing all original stuff, all instrumentals, like Johnny the Hurricanes and the Ventures. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, we could do 5 hours of instrumentals. And then we started playing the service basses. And a lot of the guys that were at Bayport in Jacksonville, the naval base, were from up north, and they wanted to hear some of the stuff like 1,000 Miles Away and Daddy's Home, some of the doo-wop things. So I said, well, you know, I'll give it a try. I know some of those songs. And lo and behold, it just turned out that I became the lead singer for the group.
Now, for a while there, you were playing drums and standing up and singing at the same time, which is really pretty difficult to do.
Yep, you have your balance.
Yeah.
But, I did that for quite a while. And then when Spooky came out and started to hit the charts, they decided that we needed to go ahead and move me up front, so we hired Kim Venable,
mm-hmm.
a drummer from Alabama, and he was from another group, to take my place in the drums so I could go up in front of the group.
So now for a few years there, you guys really, you ruled the charts. You had an incredible success. What was it like at that time?
We did Johnny Carson 5 times. We did all the major TV shows. It was great. We were very fortunate. We had some great writers, and we were on the charts from 68 to about 72, 73, and I did some recording away from the group and had a couple different albums out, and we're very fortunate. They still play, you know, my tunes on the radio pretty regularly today, which isn't bad considering it's been about 38 years later.
Now,
we were very blessed.
In terms of royalties and stuff, do you guys still make money from that, or was it mostly just the writers?
I still make money on royalties. I own the name of the Classics 4 in the trademark, and we just last year we had two not anthologies, but two compilations out. One was on Raven, which is a company out of Australia, and it had some of the original stuff on it from the Capitol years before we went to Liberty Imperial.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had one on Tarragon out of New York, which was called the Legendary Master Series. And both CDs were about 50 to 60% different than the other ones. So we were real happy with them, and they were all digitally remastered. And people seemed to like them real well.
Yeah, I heard they're pretty good. I haven't heard them. And actually, what I got was, I have one of your old Classics 4 Greatest Hits CDs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I love the music. In fact, listening to it now, it sounds just as fresh as it did back then.
Well, we appreciate it. We tried to do things in the studio that we could, you know, duplicate on the stage. You know, we didn't go, with a great deal of overdubs and things like that. Other than, you know, when we got to the third album, we were using strings and stuff. But the songs, when we do them live, we try to do them as the people remember them. We get a lot of people that come up to me and say, you know, that was our song when we first started dating, or even some guys that were in NAMM say, you know, Stormy and those songs were, you know, brought us back home, you know, and they reminded us of home when we were over there.
Mm.
So, you know, we hope, you know, it had a lot of great memories. Some were, you know, at the time were probably a little bit bad, but we hope we made great memories for everybody back in that period.
When did the group become known as Dennis Yost and the Classics 4?
Well, after the second or third single, we started to differentiate from the group, seeing how I was doing all the lead singing, and that way, in case we ever wanted to do a solo career, we could use it. And it was like the Classics 4 featuring Dennis Yost.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe somewhere around either Traces or Stormy, we did Dennis Yost and the Classics 4, just like Gary Puckett, Union Gap, and a lot of the other groups were doing at that time.
Yeah, and people like, for instance, from Spiral Staircase, Pat Upton.
Yeah.
He never really separated his name, and it became more difficult for him to promote his own name.
Right. Pat's a good friend of mine. He lives up in Alabama, and he still sounds just like he did on the record.
He does. It sounds great. We've had him on the show, and
he's
fantastic. Yeah. We've probably interviewed pretty much everybody who's anybody from the '60s
right.
or the '70s, and love your stuff. So let's talk a little bit about how the group got discovered. What's the relationship here with a guy named Bill Lowry?
Okay, Bill Lowry had a publishing company and a production company in Atlanta, Georgia. And the group was, we played around the South, and we played, you know, I always like to say it took us 9 years to be an overnight success,
mm-hmm.
you know. But the group was seen down in Daytona Beach by some constituents of Bill's, and they told him that we ought to check out this group because I really think they've got potential. So we made a trip to Atlanta, and we kicked around there for 2 or 3 years. And Joe South was our original producer, but Joe was so tied up with Billy Joe Royal and different artists there in Atlanta that Buddy Bowie, who ended up to be our producer and co-writer, he ended up being our producer. And was a house situation. There was a lot of group there. Bertie Higgins, who was with Tommy Rowe's band,
mm-hmm.
the Romans, was from there. Billy Joe Royal, group called the Tams. There was a lot of people in the stable there that Bill had success with. So, you know, we had a good family going at the time.
Now, what made, I guess it was Cobb that left the group first, wasn't it, Jim
right.
Cobb?
J.R. was more interested in the writing, so he became, as you know, Bowie Cobb. If you look on the records, they wrote all my material. And they, you know, he just enjoyed the writing better. And so basically, we used a couple different pickup guys in the band. And then eventually, you know, as the years waned on, you know, I just decided to go on my own. And I did a couple of things on a few labels and a few independent things, you know, after that.
But it shows you how crucial that it is to have a good songwriter. And, you know, if you look
actually,
at the Beatles, they had Lennon McCartney and the Rolling Stones, they had Keith Richards and Mick Jagger.
That's right,
you know.
And songwriter, you know, it's a 50-50 deal. You know, you have to hear your songwriter and the artist, you know. So I always say, you know, I was in the right place at the right time. And the writers will say, well, you know, just so happens that, you know, your voice was made for our tunes. So it's a marriage, just like anything else. You know, it's a marriage of writer and singer and producer, really.
Was there any talk at all about ever getting back together with Cobb?
I really haven't thought about it. I'm basically going to be doing, we're going to do a tour this coming year with a couple of artists. And I'm basically pursuing, you know, the package show. I enjoy those. I've done about 10, 15 years of those. And it's like a family going out, you know, like with Pat Upton and Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night and Mitch Ryder, a lot of different people like that. We all came up and we'd go out in packages, and it's a lot of fun.
Do you ever see any of the guys from the group and the original guys?
Not really. I'm living in Cincinnati now, is where I'm calling from. And the original bass player, Walter, he's still in Jacksonville. JR is in Atlanta still. And Joe, the original keyboard player, he's working for Weird Al Yankovic, I believe, doing sound, and he's doing a lot of production work with him. Out in Branson and things like that.
So what about Kim?
We don't get a chance to see, you know, each other that much.
Yeah, what's Kim doing?
Kim, he's I think he's writing some. He's living in Nashville, in a little town out there. Him and Robert Nix, who was the original drummer, wrote some things for me, and they wrote Cherry Hill Park. Billy Joe Royal.
Right.
And so they're a great team of writers. So I still try to tag bass with them once in a while, you know.
Yeah. I was listening, actually, your production people, your promotion people sent me a CD. It was something that they just dubbed onto. It had like 28 tracks on it.
Right. Well, that was off the Legendary Masters compilation.
Really? I love that. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, to note, I was listening to the songs pretty carefully, and you know, when you're listening to some of the songs that I didn't recognize,
it could have been
Gary Lewis and the Playboys, could have been any of these people. It's amazing how that music just had this, you know, it's unbelievable.
Well,
just,
we started out, you know, really as a copycat band. You know, we did all Four Seasons stuff and James Brown Show and, oh my Lord, Gene Pitney, and you know, we had, matter of fact, when we worked in Daytona Beach, there was a little group then called the Almond Joys, and you know them as the Almond Brothers Band.
Right.
Greg and Dwayne, they used to come in after work. They worked a little lounge down there, three piece, and then they used to come in, and we were good friends with them. And then also from Jacksonville, you know, the Leonard Skinner people, 38 Special, and golly, let me think, Pat Boone, Johnny Tillotson. There was a lot of talent from that area, you know.
And of course, you know, the thing that differentiated your songs from some of the others, of course, was your voice. When I listen to the music, I hear the voice of Dennis Yost.
Right.
As same thing with the Union Gap. You hear Gary Puckett had a very distinctive
Kenny
voice.
Kenny Rogers is the same way. You know when you hear Kenny sing, you know who it is. And I was just very fortunate to have that. I don't know how I got it. It just it was a marriage of the songs. And we at that time, you know, we were classified soft rock, you know, everything was MOR, middle of the road, or whatever. And so, basically, we, in Atlanta, you know, we were, I guess, the starters of the Atlanta sound of the soft rock, and a lot of people came there to record. But, you know, the style of music we had, I don't know, it was just the studio players, basically, were the group that ended up being the Atlanta Rhythm Section, which J.R. Cobb was in, and Barry Bailey, and Paul Goddard, a lot of the guys.
Mm.
And we all were so close, you know. It's just, we were just like family. And I guess the music showed, it came through that way, you know.
Now, does Classics 4 have its own website?
Classics 4, we have a website. It's www.classicsiv.com, Roman numeral. And it'll give you information on what's going on and what we're doing. And it's my buddy Joe Glickman out of Albany, New York, is my webmaster, and he runs the website. And we also we're going to start up again the Classics 4 store, which is a merchandising situation on there. In this next year, especially, we're gonna have that, and we're gonna have our fan club thing again. I took a couple years off just to kind of air out a little bit. And I'm fresh, and I'm ready for the road. I love traveling. I love meeting all our fans. That's what makes you. You know, I mean, you can be a great singer, you can do this, that, and the other, but if you don't have the support of your fans over the years, then, you know, you're not going to end up to be monumental or something people remember. That's what I believe, anyway.
Did you ever get married?
Oh, yeah, I'm married now. I've been married to Linda. I call her my little peanut. Mm-hmm. We've been married 12 years, and she goes with me, and she does the merchandising. And she loves the business. She's the first one in the truck, you know.
Yeah.
She really enjoys it. And all the people on the road, all the artists know her. And, you know, she's just a great lady. And,
now, what, do you have any children?
Pardon me?
Any children?
Yes, I have 5 children by another marriage. And they age from 37 down to 22. They're all
Whoa.
Grown. And,
Whoa. Any of them musically inclined like yourself?
All of them were, basically, but... You know, I told him, I says, please don't give up your day job. But basically, my oldest boy is a securities and exchange attorney in Atlanta. And the rest of my children are into the computer world. And one of my boys is a head landscaper for a company. And so they've had wide education. When they were young growing up, you know, they didn't have the computers and the TVs in their room. You know, they grew up like regular kids. And, They you know, they had to earn their allowance, and I think that helped them a lot along the way to learn to be stable and to be able to take care of themselves.
When they were growing up, I'm trying to think now in times. Were you guys doing extremely well when they were young?
Well, I'm trying to think. Basically, around 72, 73 was when they were, you know, 6, 7 years old. So, I guess our peak had passed. So I was able to be home more. I was traveling still a lot.
Yeah.
But when I was home, I was there with them. And we lived in Central Florida, and we'd fish, and we had a little bass boat and motorcycle. So, you know, they enjoyed, you know, taking a ride on that and stuff like that. But they all played, you know, little league ball and football and stuff like that. They grew up like the regular kids. And, my oldest boy, Jason, I remember this one story I'm going to tell you, and he had to do a little speech on their class was doing on famous Americans. And,
mm-hmm.
and so one little girl gets up, she says, about George Washington. This is a true story. And one little boy gets up about Abraham Lincoln, and he says, well, my dad's Dennis Yost, and he's a famous American. And he sang this and that and the other. I think he was about 7 or 8 years old, and his teacher said, well, Jason, that's true. He is a famous American. But it was kind of funny. He'd come home, and I said, Jason, did you really do that? Well, Daddy, it's true. But it was just kind of funny. And
I hope he got a good grade on it, too.
Yes, he did. I think so. But I mean,
did you ever go to their schools and play for them?
I did. I went to one of their schools. Matter of fact, when they were in high school in Atlanta, Jason was a drum major, and I did a halftime show with Isaac Hayes there in the stadium, and he did Shaft, and the band that played that, and then they played Stormy, and I sang it, and they announced that Jason's dad was the singer, and you know, it was really cool. And but you know, I've always tried to keep my head level. You know, anytime people ask me about advice about what's good advice, if you're trying to get in the music world, I tell them, number one rule, never believe your own press kit.
Mm.
You know, that's for the people who buy your records and for the entertainment world. And rule number two is never forget rule number one. And I know a lot of people in this business that are real, real big stars and artists. And I find that the most people who are the most famous are the ones that realize that. And they don't let the fact that they've done this, that, and the other, because that's only... The reason how you were able to do that was because of your fans and because of good writers and a family of people and a family to support you. So, you know, I've always tried to keep a level head about my music and what I've done. And I think it's helped me tremendously, you know, along the way through life.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I go by, and I think that it's very related to what you're saying, is never get too high and never get too low.
No, that's right, because, you know, you got to crawl back up that road. The same way, I think a lot of artists that do that, you know, they have a hard time handling, you know, the fall, and so when You know, when our record furnace famous, I did some landscaping for some friends, and I can do a lot of different things besides sing, and it just kind of keeps your feet on the ground,
Yeah.
And I love this next year. Matter of fact, in February, we're going to do a few days in the Philippines, and we're looking forward to that. And then we're going to do our tour. It's going to be called Feeling Groovy, I believe it is. And it's going to be my band, Classics 4, with the voice of Dennis Yost, and it's going to be the voice of Jim Yester from the Association.
Oh, yeah.
And also the voice of Ron Dante, a real good friend of mine from the Archies and
everything else.
And everything, the detergents and cufflinks. And he also produced Barry Manilow. He's a real good friend of mine out in L.A.
Yeah, we've had him on the show as well.
No,
he's
a sweetie pie. He's a good, real super guy. And like I said, it's going to be a family show. It'll be real nice. And we hope to do a lot of fairs and festivals this year and meet a lot of new fans and some of the old ones.
Well, we can get all of you guys on one day
the
thing and get you all over the country. We have about 9 million people around the country listening to this.
Yeah, that'd be super. We'd really love that.
Yeah. It's great to talk to you, Dennis.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Once again, I appreciate you having me on. Very grateful. And I'd like to say hello to all the fans out there and tell them to anytime to log on to the website. And, I answer the email and I try to answer questions. And I'm also, hopefully this next year, I'm going to start on a book called Traces of Love and Life.
There you go.
And it's going to be stories of the road. It'll be about good friends of mine who I've traveled with, some of them who have passed away, like Tiny Tim. And
Tiny Tim is a good friend of mine.
Yes,
I spent lots of time with.
Super gentleman.
One of the nicest guys you've ever met.
Unbelievable. I toured with him in 1990 on the 30 Years of Rock and Roll package. And I know everybody who I've talked to asked me how you are. I say he's one of the most sweet gentlemen I've ever met in my life.
Absolutely. And really talented. People don't realize how talented
he was. Absolutely. And Cub Coda from Brownsville Station,
mm-hmm.
who
yep.
passed away about 2-3 years ago, was another great friend of mine. And he did articles for Goldmine Magazine. And a lot of these friends, I feel I owe it to them to tell their stories. And tell some of the stories, the funny stories, and some of the sad stories.
And we have both of those folks on our website at pmpnetwork.com actually being interviewed. So you're on there now, too. Tonight you'll be on, and feel free to link us to your site if you'd like to
great.
Have your friends.
I love it. I appreciate you once again. Thank you very much
All
for
right.
having me.
Take care, Dennis.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.